I was gonna ask you too, well, you say you do some artwork too as well, but do you?
No, I don't do anything like that.
You don't?
No.
Is there any stories told in your language about Native women, about the things that they do? Let's say, for instance, somebody will come up and tell you a story about this woman is teaching Native language, and they would have a story behind the Native language.
Nothing like that. Kids that I teach here are always wanting to hear stories, and I've, just from what I've heard, you know, heard some stories from my mother. One story that really stands out in my mind is about the little girl that got sick, and the grandparents didn't know what was wrong with her, and they, went to a person that could tell fortunes, and they told the grandparents that she needed a licking with the red willow whip, that the little girl had gotten sick because she was never ever corrected, you know, and she was just spoiled. And so then anyways, they come down, they had to go and get the whip, and they start, the grandfather had to whip the girl, and that was her medicine. That was her medicine, and she got better. Those are about the only kinds of stories that I know. The kids like to hear those stories, and there's always a lesson to be learned from them. They like scary stories. Oh, do they like scary stories?
I think all kids are.
Yeah.
So you use storytelling as a part of your language work?
I have, I buy all the books that I can get. You know, I go to the Turtle Building, or I've been up to West Bay, I've been all over.
Have you ever tried going to the elder people and listen to what they say?
Not so much. I've tried a couple of times. I guess we, this other lady that was here, her and I went to, I hope this doesn't go any further though, then. We went to their place where they have the seniors meeting every once a week. We went there just thinking, well, maybe, because I've been on to other reserves and they really get involved, you know. They make puppets for the language teachers and, you know, really just really get involved. Well, her and I tried to get some of the people to come over, even just tell stories. Things that happened a long time ago, just anything. And, you know, they said, you know, that's why we have this meeting place. We don't want to be bothered with grandchildren. That's why we have this place, just to get away from our grandchildren. Things like that. So they didn't want to come over to get involved.
Maybe what the purpose of that though is the lifestyle has changed so much, you know.
Oh,
that
I know.
They can't grasp this lifestyle with the old lifestyle that they knew, because, like, my grandmother taught me quite a lot, and it's very difficult for me to leave hers there and mine begins now. And when I use hers with mine, my kids really get affected by it, because they're being told one thing from me and my grandmother, and they're being taught something else by someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard. Like, some days I could say, okay, I'm just going to leave it alone. I won't tell you. I won't teach you no more. And I think what it is with the older generation is they're feeling that division, and they figure it's not going to be worth it. Nobody's not really caring. I think a lot of times you have to really say, we do care. Bring the kids to them rather than them come to the kids. then that we may be able to change. Because there's a lot of women that we've interviewed, and I found that a lot of them were saying, well, they don't want to take the time. And then we get another story from you where they're saying they don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, yeah, because what they will say, and there's probably truth on both sides, it may be that they see the younger women, for example, as not being interested in passing these things on,
mm-hmm.
and the kids not being interested, and they complain, and also that a lot of the younger women have to be more concerned about supporting, you know, getting out and getting a job, so it's harder to pass things on. And then, you know, we hear from you too that they also don't want
mm-hmm.
I think what has to be first done is getting them to know each other again. See, the older parents, the older grandparents, they will go to a child before they'll go to an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I know that because I would do the same thing. If another person approached me to do something, it would take a lot out of me to go there and do it. But if a child asks me,
mm-hmm.
for some reason you open up more.
I know that. Sometimes too, you may have a parent that has, for some reason, you know, they dislike you, and yet at the same time, those are the kids you really seem to get along so good with them, you know, that it just seems to work that way.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Because children are so, so nice. That's right. They forget so fast. That's right.
That's the other thing. If they get mad at you, they're mad at you today, but not tomorrow.
Next 10 minutes, and they're all smiles again.
Just got a couple of other questions here.
Maybe.
Do you find that the response from the reserve and the people in the reserve, that they're more supportive as time goes on or less supportive of the language program?
I think it's just not really, I think they're just not really waking up to realizing that, hey, you know, there is something to this, you know, with the language. I think probably what's happened is you just take it for granted. It's going to be around all the time. But now people are stopping to think, well, you know, she may be right, you know, in a few years there isn't going to be anybody left, no speakers. Because I say that to the kids and maybe they go home and say it. Because I know that's the way children are. You think sometimes they're not listening, but they take it all. Well, what really opened my eyes that time was when I was telling you I had that open house for native language. And I told the kids, I said, you tell your parents to come, make sure you tell them. I don't know how many times I told them that last day, you know, the day of the open house. Don't forget to tell them. And tell them there's going to be things to eat. Like,
who's that? Your
oh, yeah.
Okay, so it was the parents' night, and you were really telling the kids to be sure to have their parents
mm-hmm.
come.
Well, I think everything was going to start at 7 o'clock because I got here about 6:30. And I was really amazed. I thought, my goodness, the place was already half filled. The gym was already half filled. And by 7 o'clock, we had so many people in there. It was just like maybe Christmas concert night. I couldn't believe it. I thought, well, gee, these kids have really been telling the kids, telling the parents to make it down. And just tell them, never mind bingo this time, you know, just come on out. So they did. Oh, it was really nice. And these little kids, every class did something, whether it was singing or did something or telling a story in Oneida, or there was one of the books that I had where they had to fill in the blanks, and by the time they finished it, it was like telling them who they are, who their parents are, what color their house was, and just, you know, everything like that. It was just a really good turnout. That made me feel really good.
That was a sign of how important it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. I was wondering about this Three Generations book. Do you know if it's still possible to get copies of that?
I don't know.
Because that's really excellent.
Really
good.
You could call the band office, I suppose.
Check with them and see.
And see if they have those books.
Yeah, there's Hazel, right.
What did you do?
We just interviewed Hazel today, and actually we were also with Hazel last week with her quilting group, and where they were all working.
Hazel and I sing together. She,
Sarah.
Yeah.
She's lovely. She was very nervous, started out by apologizing about how her English would be, and she did just fine.
Oh.
Just fine. But I would love to get a copy of that. I have to call and see.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I wanted to ask you another thing, too, before you tell the story. One thing that I would like to see if it would be possible to do is perhaps to come on an afternoon and take some photographs of you with your children during the language class.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to disrupt you, but would really love to get some photographs of you actually doing it with the children.
Okay, if you talk to Mr. Frost, who is our principal, and then...
do is leave an extra copy of the project information with you to just hand to him, and then we'll call.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's an extra for you. If I can't get a copy of that, if I could borrow it, perhaps even just a photocopy.
Okay.
Of the ones in there, I would just, it's really fine.
That might be better, because I'm not sure. I don't think there's any more.
Okay. Are you needing it right now?
No.
Like, if I were to take it now and photocopy it,
then bring
it
back.
Back when I photograph the
okay.
children.
Okay, it's fine.
Okay, can I borrow this just for a second? I just want to write Mr. Frost in here. It's the principal. This was the other one that was interesting, too. Was which stories?
That came from Oneida, Wisconsin.
Okay.
They have a lot of books that... Who's that?
Yeah,
Doc Stater. Is she?
She was an adjutant before she was Doc Stater.
Oh, you're from Cape Croker? Oh, yeah. So you know Ralph?
Mm-hmm. Ralph
Quincy?
Yeah, Ralph's related to
him. I went to summer school within the last 2 years at Western. What a character.
Can you answer something for me that I've asked about it before and I've never had a very clear answer? What's the origin of the English surnames for Native people, like the Elijahs and the Christians, and where do those come from?
I don't know. That's always, you know, I was interested in that. Like, say now the Dock Staters, they say that's a German name, and but we must have had these names before. We came here.
So when you came from New York.
From New York, yeah.
Because I noticed that the same names occur in Wisconsin, too.
Because we all left together. You know, those people in Wisconsin. We all left together, only they went on when some of them came here. They went on, went to Wisconsin. And, you know, that's always fascinated me, too, how we got our last names. Because I would imagine all we had were Indian names a long time ago. And what I always thought, maybe if they were good friends with some of these white people, and when they told them they had to, you know, get last names, maybe they just took their friend's last name. I don't know.
Yeah, because I know it's certainly a different relationship than what it would be with black slaves, for example. Mm-hmm. Where they had to take the name of their owner. There wasn't that relationship between Indian people and white people.
And the other thing there, I guess there were they Dutch people in New York? Other thing that always fascinates me is how a lot of the, I know my father always made sauerkraut in the winter. Now why? You know, because isn't that German? Isn't that German?
German and German, Polish, Hungarian, or Eastern mm-hmm. Europe in
mm-hmm.
I think the Dutch may do it too, though. The part of Holland.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to bother me. Why would they be eating sauerkraut, you know? And everybody did that long time ago. Everybody made a barrel full of sauerkraut to do for the whole winter. And then I think about it, why sauerkraut, you know? It sure doesn't seem like Indian food.
Well, it's funny, some of the exchanges, I think, of food, the women's group that I work with sent me to Africa, and I grew up in the southern United States, and a lot of the foods that were native foods in Africa are the same foods that white southerners claim as their own food,
mm-hmm.
but it's the food of the slaves,
mm-hmm.
because they were the ones preparing it, the kind of cornbread that we ate, the biscuits that we ate, a number of the vegetables, the way those vegetables were
mm-hmm.
prepared. Are very greasy,
yeah.
Fried very much the same way as it was done
mm-hmm.
in those African countries. So I'm sure there's those kinds of exchanges
mm-hmm.
of foods back and forth.
How many grits
oh,
and all
yes,
that?
Yes, well, is there a favorite story that you would like to tell in Oneida that the children like a lot?
Probably that one I was telling you. You want me to?
If you do it in Oneida.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Huskake, we don't let's take a go yiksa. What go no work don't go. Dano, yatona no take a go. Sagunat lo go hanat na go yard or what soji. Yes, no lay what go no work don't go. Dokaka di winnie one is like a girl. Any go conon ya go no work tani gonna yet. Lade Johnson so good at the how we take them. Ya ne de honan de honote not take near go yard dogs. No witches are never no yet does any talon. Lodi guana da one nilo yet. That not. And that you don't jungle as so go not go set gum. Like a dog on it not that one near go yard dogs. Then get we to one it take gum. Got go. Lord not. What got Zena got gun? She got young, a sagot guns. Then, one lay it got gun. Sagot guns it. Well, you'll have it weed on this net gun and you don't jump one, take it gun. Negwinetas, I'll have it gun on Tosan, it take gun, while it went on doors it. Got gun, sagot guns it, not take a deep, what got talk gun at it near Goyard or sent. Sagonadle. And get we Wahalok at gun. Sagot goes it. What took me what got to cut on gun? Soji itchy sat duck sat it gun. Yah, no one don't at it. Tetchy at death don't go not it. No yonja let gun walk tiaka will not have jail. Dano ya tio yan le gan tio don jones o jelong ay chi dano slali gan no na te so chi o het kana on jele dano ne ti ko ni ko tla ni ka ku lo do ne on jet ste gan ne on jet ste gan ay chi dano slali nang ka de we thoni at ko ye ka gan chi wa wa ti lo li gan lo ti ko na da gan chi no kwa don Nigogon, Galhagon, Mishadon Gotegon, yet quillies agate we sknigagui lagagon, Tikonikotanigagui lord us. Da no, no, ni has never known, only on gunt on ya lake. Nega did ne, a gun quat like a nixa. Da no, ye we does our de taladic we to desire don de lunaka. Mahala it take a look star. Yani dear talk when ye gum. A kid done was the leak of your teardly. What ye link it win, law ne nocti, no wit on your cheek. Wahia law legal, cheek no conjure yet one, the neck gun that to no share. Ya could it eat handy. That ye tea no long quack gun ye teardly hugger, got it handy to not me. Nangke wene do gus kik gwi ting gal hako nyu zahia dong gote. Wa hiya tukwi li za kik gwi. Tiko ni gwa hlat ni ka gwi lo da. Nyang tucha za na we. No wa ha yung gwan tok gwi n. Lo gwa na da ka. Nen. Nang gwi tanya ha da ya te ka. Jik na jie da ka le ka n sa gwa na dle. Nang gwi da ha da sok ka. Wa sa gwa li ka n sa gwa dle. Ned Kale no, what just some talk gun. Nega di what got going knee guns, they end up gully the dead gun, take a jeep, color no more just some talk gun. Nate Weechy, you don't join yet. That's how we learn no stick gun, yak it handy. On say lowly not dead guy, eh? Color on say lowly not dead no head. That ya sit, that ya toss it down on slowly. When is all did it say no long quack gun? Say young had that nick say at lay. Nega did we a lag at gun? Tony got a load of gun. What girl, I don't go on edge, you got go on his ladeni gun. You're not toss at got talk gun. A dick sucks her gun, Tony a cheek. And what did done on slalit gun? Hog will let gun iron stick gun. Your queenie can get gun at got quay.
Any other questions that you need to ask before we end?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was going to ask you what you think about what we're doing, what we're trying to do. How do you feel about it?
I think it's good.
Do you feel we're trying to invade the Anishinaabe's privacy?
No.
Because I find a lot of people feel that way. And then there's some that say, well, I'm really glad that somebody's decided to do it, because if we didn't decide to do it, it wouldn't be there. And you know that once we're gone, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is one of the only ways that we can preserve it. And like a lot of people say, well, white people are always interfering or always wanting to know a lot. But maybe in this, the way I feel in this instance, maybe it's best, because we're not holding on to
mm-hmm.
it any other way.
That's right. I feel the same way. That was all right 50 years ago, 75 years ago, you know, but nowadays we're losing things too fast. We have to hold on to everything the best way we know how. And a lot of the times our own people won't do these things, you know. And that's what I've always found out. That's just like the linguist that I've worked with my language. And so I've heard some people, I wouldn't work with those linguists because they're white and how do they know anything. But it's surprising how much they know about our language. And, you know, they're saying, don't tell them anything, you know, because they're going to take our language away. And it's not, we should have thought about that long time ago. I mean, we can't think that way. We have to be open-minded. Like I'm saying, if you didn't do it, would any of our own people do it? I don't think so. What I found a lot of, too, is a lot of jealousies. And that's why our own people won't do it.